A short preface to the reading of the gospel this morning. Jesus has sent 70 of his followers in pairs ahead of him to every place he himself intends to go, and he has given them authority over all the evil spirits and the demons and given them power to heal and teach and proclaim the coming kingdom of God. Hear now the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." Jesus said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I've given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated, and I invite the young people to join Renata out in the comfy chairs. I always say it's one of my favorite stories, but it is one of my favorite stories. Michael Birdboy. Fantastic story, Michael Birdboy. And a pairing with the children's gospel. The demon had me by the throat, its putrid breath breathing right into my nostrils, and I began to struggle and thrash, and in that struggling and thrashing, I awoke from my nightmare covered with sweat. This was about the third night in a row I'd been having such nightmares. They had been going on for several months. It was in the time shortly after Rodney King had been beaten by the police in L.A., and L.A. had riots, and there was a ministry in the inner city of L.A. in the Methodist Church whose windows, stained glass windows, all around the sanctuary had been shot out by shotguns. The ministry was intended to help people center their lives in the water, in the word, in the grace of God, that could somehow heal our racial tensions and unite us into one. It was one of the only times that I have felt myself in the minority. I was about maybe 10% of us who were white. We were in this kind of all-black ministry, and these people had taught me how to pray. We would stand around in a circle in the room, and they would pray. They would pray out loud. I was much too shy to do that. But they, of course, had experienced all of this trauma and violence, even done to their church. And so they would hold hands and close their eyes, and they would pray things like, "God, bind Satan, bind this strong man and keep him far from us, because we need you to bless this ministry. Keep the demons away from us and every harmful thing." And so they would pray on and on like this, and of course, I learned to pray like that. And as I learned to pray like that, I began to have these really frightening nightmares. It was shortly after that that one of my friends had told me that she had one time prayed that God would allow her to see Satan's face. And God actually granted that prayer, and it almost killed her. I said to her, "Why on earth would you pray that?" And she said, "Well, I wanted to know if it was real or not." I said, "I guess you have your answer." So for me, as somebody trying to follow Jesus, putting myself out there in a really uncomfortable way, I began to experience things that were quite beyond my control, quite horrible and horrific and terrifying. But God sent to me an angel who touched me and said to me, "Stop looking at the things that are none of your business. There is a whole host of heaven, an army that God has assembled to protect you and all of God's people, to protect that most precious kernel of the kingdom that lives in God's people as we breathe in and breathe out God's Holy Spirit. It you know, we would do well to remember that it was only ever a small group of people that began to talk about the kingdom of God. They held that word of God as a precious treasure, and they began to live their lives day by day focused on the God of life, blocking out all else and keeping God central, nourished by water and the word, sustained by the gifts of the table, upheld by one another's company and encouragement. You know, the people of God were never exempt from circumstances that all people face. Our loved ones die. We lose our jobs. Our bodies fail us. But together, the people of God, the church has always been a small kernel of truth, a seed of hope for the entire world. So I invite you to think about what's going on in your life. What's going on in the community around you, in our city, in our nation, in our world? And in this moment, ask yourself, what value is this place and what we do here? What hope, what treasure, what life does God offer you in this place? You know, when I stand in the middle, and if you look at me, you can't help but look through me and see other people. What gift, what treasure resides in the hearts and the minds and the lives of these people who choose to center their life on water and the word when the rest of the world tells us we're nuts? Even our own children. An angel of the Lord came and laid a hand on me and said to me, Satan does not care if you worship him. That is not how he wins. How he wins is when you take your eyes off of the God of life. Satan wins when you fail to pray. Satan wins when you fail to trust in fellow Christians who are banking their life on an invisible word. Satan wins when you let the things of this world take your eyes off the one who gave you your life in the first place. The angel of the Lord told me, you're praying wrong. You're praying wrong. The way that you're praying is like putting yourself in a dark room and moving about in that room in the complete darkness and asking God to protect you from bumping into the furniture. When you pray in that way, you're asking God to protect you from the cockroaches that come out from the walls and whatever snakes and scorpions and evil things might be in that darkness. When all you have to do is walk over to the place by the door and turn on the damn light. But that's what we do, isn't it? It's so easy to take our eyes off the power of these simple things. Water, light, bread, wine, word, friendship, support. So hard to stop drawing near to the things that sustain us because their power can't be seen. Not the way that coffee can. Not the way that flowers can. Not the way that movies can. Not the way that bowling leagues and hockey and sports things can. Have you had an angel come to you? Angels come to us all the time. The problem is we can't see them. They come to us in our ahas, in the things our friends say to us that they don't know where it came from. They come to us and jump out at us from the Word. They touch us like a bit of water. We have a lot of that these days. They come to us through the snow, through the rain. When suddenly we're in the middle of nowhere, we find ourselves wet and we're thinking about our baptism. They come to us at our dinner table when we've invited people we don't know why and we're sharing food that we think is terrible and they're blessed. Amen, people who are in the Way of Christ life group. Thanks, Emily, for saying you think I'm a good cook. That's how angels come to us, in subtle ways, in ways that save us. There is an array, an army, a host of heaven that God has assembled like an umbrella over us to protect this simple thing that we share. This life together, meant to sustain us, to help us through those things that really suck. When they happen to you, don't stay away for long. It might seem like there's not much here to support you, but this is where it's all at. Tell someone what you're going through. We had terrible lessons this morning, did you notice? They hang together on this really tenuous thread. And so I went to my favorite friend, Bible Gateway, and I typed in the word angel. And hundreds of passages came up. It was the angel of the Lord that stopped Abraham's hand from killing his son. Did you know that? An angel. It was an angel of the Lord that told him he would be blessed, the father of many nations. It was an angel of the Lord that first spoke to Moses from the burning bush before God. It was an angel of the Lord that shut the lion's mouth when Daniel was in the den. It was an angel of the Lord that protected Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from that fiery furnace. It was an angel of the Lord that came to that young girl, this one's name we have, Gabriel, saying to her, don't be afraid. It's God's angels that protect us, speak to us, call to us, remind us who we are and whose we are and how precious the treasure is that we hold. And the word tells us that it's the angel Michael who's leading that charge in the spiritual realm against all the forces of the devil and evil. And it is the angel Michael who is victorious. In other words, we know how it ends. The angel told me, what are you afraid of? Turn on the light. People of God, turn on the light. Focus your lives on the water and the word and the bread and the wine. We can't see. It's like God has created a river of life and it flows all around us. We're not responsible for its origin and we're not responsible for where it ends. We're only responsible to throw ourselves into it and let it carry us. There's a lot of trouble in the world. The antidote to the trouble is here. Today we focus on the feast of Michael, the archangel, and all the angels. But we don't worship them. We worship the God who created them. The God who knew we would have trouble seeing. The God who knew we would have trouble following. The God who knew what our culture was going to be like. We worship the God who protects us, who heals us, who encourages us, who sustains us, who gives us gifts so simple they're available to anyone. This is not the marketplace. Everyone can have the things that flow freely from the throne of God. keep your eyes there. And let the God of peace and hope and life and love carry you in the river of life. When I was a little girl, I grew up in the church, and my parents would come and pray with me when I was really little, and they taught me this prayer. Angel of God, my guardian dear, be at my side, be ever near. Ever this night be at my side, to light and guard, to rule and guide. Amen. Guardian angels are all around. You each have one. They're part of that heavenly host, fighting a battle, and they fight for you by name. Mostly they fight for you to keep the lights on. Keep the lights on. You know, here in this place, let's tell the truth. We go through hard, difficult, miserable things. But those things do not have the final word. We know how it ends. We know how it ends. It's kind of like you have a novel and you read the last page. Oh, wow, this turns out great. I can endure the battle now. Don't forget who you are, whose you are, and what that one who has created you has given to you. Protection, healing, hope, community, life, a promise, and a future. Gracious God, thank you for your holy angels. Thank you that there is one powerful as Michael. I know I wasn't able to handle that thing even when it came to me in my dream. Do you know when I turned on the lights, I never had another nightmare? Keep the lights on. Keep them burning. Remember the one that created you and what the future holds. Amen.